Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we hear from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're exploring interest rates. The likes of Japan and Sweden have been cutting rates deeper into negative territory, and the European Central Bank is weighing up further similar moves too. And while previous rate cuts have been taken broadly positively by the markets, it's interesting that these ones are generally being treated fairly badly. The Japanese market in particular has been terrible. We'll explore why this might be the case, and we'll ask, are negative interest rates the new normal? And should we be worried? We start with Paul Donovan, Deputy Head of Global Economics at UBS Investment Bank. We asked Paul exactly that. Are negative interest rates the new normal, or is it too soon to make such a bold claim?
Negative interest rates are a rather extreme policy, and it's not really a monetary policy. It's effectively a tax on the banking system, and the difference between negative rates and zero rates in monetary policy terms is actually very, very slight. So I think low interest rates may well be the new normal, but negative interest rates, I'm not sure that these are going to be ever considered to be normal.
Negative interest rates are certainly not the new normal in the US, says Maury Harris, head of US economics at UBS.
I don't think negative interest rates are going to be the new normal for the United States. This is an experiment that's being carried out in Europe and Japan. I don't think the United States economy and interest rates are in a position where we need to go to negative rates.
We sat down with Ewan Potts and Sebastian Salek from Bloomberg, too, to canvass their opinions. We asked Sebastian what he thinks of this notion of the new normal.
At the end of the day, you have to remember that this is an experiment. The central banks that are going for negative interest rates are trying something new. It's previously a thought experiment amongst economists, and there are a lot of theories over the outcomes that we could see. And in reality, we're not seeing those theories, so it's playing out rather differently to how it does on paper. So whether it's the new normal or not remains to be seen, but it's really a new frontier. It's something that they're trying out to see whether it's going to create the various outcomes that they're looking for, looking to get inflation up to their target levels, looking to control their currencies, things like that.
And let's hear from Christopher Swan, cross-asset strategist for the CIO at UBS.
At the moment, I think about nations representing about 25% of global GDP have negative interest rates. Of course, at this stage, it's just negative interest rates that commercial banks have to pay to central banks when they deposit money with them. So we're not yet at the stage where you're forced to pay for the privilege of depositing your money with your local high street bank.
Next up, we're considering the response of the markets to the negative rate trend. While previous cuts have been taken broadly positively by the market, these ones do seem different, the Japanese market in particular. We asked Paul Donovan why this is.
What you have with negative rates is something which is not necessarily going to be regarded as a stimulus for the economy. I mean, negative interest rates are not likely to be passed on to borrowers, for example. What you have is something which is increasing costs for the banking sector, which may raise concerns there. And to that extent is not actually particularly positive. So what are central banks trying to achieve with negative interest rates? Well, what they're actually trying to do is to encourage money to move to different parts of the economy and to shuffle around a bit. And so to that extent, negative rates as opposed to zero rates are more redistributive than they are actually a net positive overall. And to some extent, you know, if you have a financial sector that is important to your economy, you know, negative rates being negative for the financial sector could be seen as being problematic and cause some issues in financial markets.
We asked Ewan Potts and Sebastian Salek too about the markets. Here's Sebastian first.
One of the expectations around negative rates is that it would boost equity markets because bonds become less attractive as they go into negative yields. If you hold a bond at a negative yield into maturity, you're losing money. So the theory is that people would ditch bonds and go into equities and boost the stock markets in the countries where negative rates are applied. We haven't seen that. If you look at the markets globally from the start of the year, they've been performing pretty poorly. This hasn't turned them around, and investors are still liking bonds. You're seeing yields continue to drop on them as they become more and more favourable investments. So really everything we've seen on paper hasn't been playing out in that respect.
I think just to pick up on that point, one of the things that Seb refers to is about how equities have fallen this year, and it's been a pretty bumpy start to 2016. And I think the markets are worried that perhaps central banks may be running out of ammunition, because if you're at 1% or 2%, you can always go down towards zero. But now a number of central banks, not just the ECB, but in Denmark and Switzerland, and now Japan, are below zero. People are starting to question, investors are starting to say, well, where do we go next? How low can we go? And of course, you know, you cannot keep on cutting indefinitely. So I think there's a worry that central banks are, if you like, running out of monetary ammunition to boost the world economy. So that's really spooked investors. Well, that's one of the things that's spooking investors at the moment.
And here's Maury Harris's view.
Well, I think when the central banks have negative interest rates, that sends a signal to the markets that they're very pessimistic about their economy.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at some of the unintended consequences of negative rates. We'll ponder whether rates will ever return to normal and ask simply, should we be worried by the negative trend? Christopher Swan has been looking at the unintended consequences of the trend to negative. What are they? Well, he says, before the unintended, you must think of the intended consequences.
I guess there are three or four main intended consequences. The first intended consequence is to ease credit conditions. So the idea is that if commercial banks are forced to pay money to keep money with the central bank, it increases their incentive to loan it out in larger volumes and more speedily. The second intended consequences is that you get, or at least we assume it's an intended consequence, is that you get a boost in risk assets. The rationale here being that you're driving down the rate of return on risk-free assets, and so it increases the relative appeal of equities. And the third intended consequence is that your foreign exchange rate is weaker.
And Chris goes on to explain that primary amongst the unintended consequences is the impact on the banking sector.
Where banks have to start paying, as I said, to keep money with the central bank. But the trouble is they can't pass on that cost to the individuals who deposit money with them, the likes of you and I. The reason being that at a certain rate, we'll simply take our money and put it under our mattress or keep it at home in other forms. That would be, I suppose, what you would call a run on the bank. And that's something that banks can't really risk. So as a result, you get a narrowing of the gap, that the sort of net interest margin that banks can achieve between the rate they have to pay depositors and the rate they can charge to loan money out. Essentially, what you get is a big squeeze on bank profits, and that can have a negative effect on the economy. So instead of actually making the banks more willing to lend money, they actually become less willing to lend money, and that's a recipe for an economic slowdown or a contraction.
One question prompted by our analysis so far is, to put it simply, will rates ever go back to normal as we remembered? And what are the other factors, demographic changes or debt build-up maybe, that are shaping the scene? Paul Donovan says there are two main factors, and the first relates to the independence of central banks.
The revolution of the 1990s, essentially, was that large numbers of central banks around the world became independent. And as they became independent, inflation was brought under control. What that has done is remove uncertainty about inflation. And from the point of view of interest rates, that has removed a risk premium in interest rates. And that means that independent central banks globally will generally have lower interest rates than non-independent central banks. So as the world has moved towards independent central banks run by economists, which of course is a good thing, that has led to lower interest rates overall. That's your first thing. The second thing is we have seen demographic shifts coming through. And with the demographic changes, what we end up with is generally a lower rate of growth as a trend in the global economy. Now, with lower trend rates of growth, you would expect the interest rate, which is a proxy for a risk-free rate of return, also to be lower over the medium term. So the independence of central banks has removed a risk premium that would otherwise have been pushing interest rates higher, and the decline in the trend rate of growth has essentially changed the reference point for interest rates and also led to lower trend interest rates over time.
And here's Maury Harris with his take.
I think real inflation-adjusted interest rates probably do start to rise over the next few years, but they're not going to go back to where they used to be. And it's partly because of your savings and investment imbalance in the global economy, where you have a tremendous amount of savings, and that helps to keep the real interest rates lower than they otherwise would be.
So in the light of all these dynamics, how worried should we be? Well, much of the consideration depends on how this ties back into market confidence, as Christopher Swan reminds us.
Negative interest rates at the moment do not seem to be helping market confidence, so that's a worry for a start. So when the Bank of Japan, for example, announced that it was moving towards negative interest rates, I think it was taken by the markets as a sign of a lack of confidence in the outlook for growth. As I mentioned, it particularly damaged the banking stocks, which are large components of the major indices in the United States, in Japan, and in the Eurozone. It didn't have the expected effect on foreign exchange rates. Instead, it produced a negative sentiment in the markets, which tended to benefit the yen. So I think the bottom line is that one would hope that there are other central bank tools in the arsenal that have fewer negative side effects.
And what do our friends at Bloomberg think? Euan Potts.
I think there is a worry about where we go next, because interest rates are a really important mechanism for propping up our economies, if you like, and boosting growth. And at the moment, growth across much of the West is sluggish. It's a bit slow, but it's okay. You know, in the UK, we're doing all right. The Eurozone is picking up. There's a bit of growth. Now, should something else happen, should the world go into recession, and of course we will at some point, there's always a recession coming at some point, you know, the world growth never carries on indefinitely, then you have to wonder where central banks will go, what they will do to boost growth. And if we already have negative rates, you have to wonder how they will boost growth. So they're really, one of their key tools is kind of reaching the end of its usefulness. So that is a worry. So the worry comes when the economy goes bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much seen as a last-ditch attempt to lower interest rates below zero. As we've said, it's not something that was previously seen as an option. It's now clearly become an option. Several places have done it. And it plays into this Keynesian theory of when you're in a liquidity trap, you go for fiscal policy over monetary policy. And this isn't something, clearly, that central banks have control over in many countries. But this is a view that a lot of key players, a lot of investors, a lot of central bankers are now subscribing to. You've had Larry Summers in the US, the Treasury Secretary, Ray Dalio, the hedge fund manager, and Mohammed Alarian, the investor, all coming behind this, saying that now it's all about government spending to boost growth.
And here's Maury Harris again.
I don't think we should be overly worried. We're going through a soft spot in the global economy right now, but I think that the central banks have been very accommodative, and we don't think that these commodity prices continue to go down, and when they start to stabilize, I think the global economy will look better.
And finally, does Paul Donovan think we should be worried?
There's a lot of structural change going on in the global economy, and it means that worrying about trends in interest rates compared to where we were over the last 20 years is just not appropriate. The history of the last 20 years is not going to be the history of the next 20 years. It's very dangerous to say, well, this is what interest rates have been in the past and this is therefore what they should be in the future. I think that we can perhaps worry a little bit about the confusion that exists around policy, and there is confusion about policy at the moment, and also reflect on the fact that central banks have chosen not just to use interest rates, but also to use quantitative policy, the printing of money, and regulatory policy side by side. In the past, all an economist had to do was forecast where central bank interest rates were going to go. We don't have to do that anymore. It's more complicated than that. I have to forecast not only where a central bank is going to take interest rates, but whether it's going to tighten or ease credit regulation, and whether it's going to be printing more money or less money in the future. The world has become more complicated. Central banks have become multifaceted, and interest rates alone are no longer sufficient to understanding the way the world works.
And that's Paul Donovan bringing us to the end of this 73rd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or via the usual channels. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.